Grace is a definer. Grace is a silencer. Grace is contagious. Grace is an enabler. Grace is an enforcer. And grace is a game changer. Be enlightened as you listen and receive grace to enforce your divine mandate in your lifetime. God richly bless you. And now, receive the ministry of Reverend Dr. Oheniba Boedum, Premier Pastor of the Jesus Generation Ministries, Radiant Chapel.
Lift up your right hand. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I am too blessed. Say, great grace is upon my life. I have a mandate. I have a mandate. I have an assignment to fulfill, and I will fulfill it in the name of Jesus. Please, amen.
Amen.
Awesome, can say for my Jesus. Amen. Say the mandate, the place, and grace. I am in my place. And when you are in your place, grace follows you. When you find your mandate and you discover your place, grace will follow you. So there are varieties of grace. And these varieties of grace will follow you when you find your mandate. Praise the Lord. The mandate, the place, and grace. Part 2. Every mandate has a special place for optimal success. Every mandate. Nobody here is an accident of biology. There's nobody on earth that does not have an assignment. Your mother said you were not planned. Your father said, as for you, you were not planned. As a matter of fact, I have seen that it is those people whom we think they were not planned. Those people whom did you read the Bible? He said, for God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and the weak things to confound the stronger. It is when society thinks that you are an accident that God makes you an asset for himself. Say, I'm not a liability. I am an asset. You have a mandate on your head which you must fulfill. But I taught you that this mandate is older than you. Okay? As a matter of fact, there was a divine vacancy. You know when people are looking for the right of vacancy, employing, we are looking for good. So in the realms of the spirit, there was a divine vacancy. God saw that there was a need for somebody to be born. Till a divine vacancy came up, and God molded you according to the requirements of that vacancy. Your mother asked for, you needed somebody to come into the world. Even Jesus needed somebody to come into the world. So don't worry about your mother and the things they have said about her, or your father and the things they have said about them, or what they have said about you. It doesn't matter. What matters is that there had to be a channel to bring you into this world. The reason why you came, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 45, the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you, I knew you. And I had sanctified you and ordained you a prophet. I am saying that the mandate, the assignment is older than you. You didn't come and then God decided, I will let her do this. There was a divine vacancy and God needed somebody to fill it. And God looked through and molded you according to that requirement. So he placed a certain burden in you. That burden is an answer to that divine vacancy. You didn't say amen. Say, I am God's answer to a specific divine vacancy. Before you were born, it was there. I sanctified you means I prepared you. Everything you need to fulfill that mandate is already in you. The thing you need to fulfill this mandate is not in the hand of any man. It is in you. He said that, for we have this treasure, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may be of us and not of Christ and not of us. So there is a treasure in you. Say, there's a treasure in me. When God said to Jeremiah, I sanctified you. In other words, he said, I prepared you. I made you ready for this vacancy. It's in you. And then, every mandate has a location. So he said, I assigned you into a prophetic office, an office to the nations. So when people saw Jeremiah, when other prophets were interacting with Jeremiah, when they were talking about conquering just Israel, I prophesy to you, you are not too know. You are not ambitious. You are the embodiment of a divinely orchestrated answer to answer a vacancy that existed. Jeremiah did not come to the world to learn to prophesy. Jeremiah was made a prophet. Jeremiah had a mandate to the nations. So when people were fighting about small churches, Jeremiah was talking about big things. Then people would be saying, he's too new. As for this, haven't they said it to you before? Which is because their mandate is different from yours. And their mandate may be smaller. Anytime you start talking, they think that this guy talks too big. This guy talks too big. But it is something inside him that is working him on the outside. That is making him feel like that. Are you with me? So sometimes the things we do, people say, hey, you guys. And then sometimes I want to tell them that, mommy, I've not really started though. Because the thing inside me that I want to do, what you are talking, is nothing. There is a certain mandate. There is a certain constitution. So there is a certain mandate that is working in us. Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him anymore, nor speak anymore of his name. But his word was in my heart like fire. It was shut up in my bones. I could not hold it back. Because of problems and the struggles you are going through, you want to keep quiet. Sometimes you have an idea. I'm speaking to you. There is this idea that you want to set up a school. There is an idea that you want to help widows. There is an idea that you want to be a philanthropist. There is an idea that you want to be a prophet to the nations. You see that there is something in you. But anytime you speak it, your brothers, your people around you feel that you are too ambitious. But I came here to tell you, you are not alone. You are not alone. There are many of us like that in the world who carry a certain mandate inside them that they are unable to keep quiet. They are unable to keep quiet about it. When you work with some people, you realize that they are mandates and they are mandates. I came here to speak to you. You are not too ambitious. There is something inside you. And I want to encourage you to do it. You have to do it. I said you have to do it. Say I will do it. Say I will do it. Paul also could not hold it back. 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said that, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of it. Why? Because necessity is laid upon me, and woe is me if I do not preach this. Yeah. He said, I didn't come to do this for money. You see, Paul didn't learn to preach. Paul did this. That's why after his encounter, he didn't go anywhere. He was made like that. You see, you are not an accident of biology. You are not an accident of gametogenesis, sir. Can I speak to the science students, sir? You are not an accident of morula forming and a zygote coming into place. No. You are a specially created being to fulfill or to answer a divine vacancy. There was a vacancy in heaven and God needed somebody to fill that position. That is why he formed you. their houses with the anointing of Bezalel upon them. They know how to do things, but they don't understand that it's a mandate. Who taught? Who taught? Who invented this thing? Who taught? You realize that all of a sudden, people are inventing things that we never thought about. There is something inside you too. There is something in you. I'm saying there's something in you. I'm saying there's something in you. And if you do not do it, woe is you. Because there is a burden on you. There is a burden. There is a burden. You haven't started. Tell your neighbor, I haven't started. Tell them, you haven't seen me yet. When I enter into my place and begin to do what God brought me to do, and begin to do the things that I was born to do, I tell you that you will move waves, you will cross some tenders. People in your family may not even understand you. There are people like that. There are families like that. Such people are placed in families, they are placed in cities, they are placed in nations. That is why I quoted that scripture in Matthew. He said that, oh Jerusalem, the city that stones its prophets and kills those that are sent to them. They are sent men. They are sent women. They are people that carry certain mandate inside them that they need to fulfill. How can a young man at 33 finish his life's assignment? What? He knew this. He knew what he had to do. Say, I hear you. And then there are extreme mandates. Say extreme. Say extreme. Sometimes, the divine vacancies that open in heaven, they are very special. That God needs to mold. What did Emchana say? God was looking for a prophet. There are vacancies in the realms of the spirit that God is looking for people to fill. And then there are people that God specifically makes them for those assignments. There are extreme mandates. Extreme mandates, like the mandate of John the Baptist. Like the mandate of Samson. Like the mandate of Jesus coming into the flesh. They are extreme, extreme, like Samson. The Bible says the Israelites were impoverished because of the Midianites. They were crying to God for a deliverer. They are extreme mandates. And anytime there is such an extreme mandate, a divine vacancy in the heavens, God does not just release those children to anybody. Are you with me? Are you with me? Today I came for the oppressed. I came for the brokenhearted. I came for the hopeless. I came for those who are struggling. That anytime there was an extreme mandate, because of heaven's special interest, because this divine mandate bordered upon the earth. Whenever there is an extreme divine mandate that borders on posterity and the things of the earth, like what Samson came to do, like what John the Baptist came to do, God does not just give those children to anybody. Anytime there was a mandate, a vacancy, something that had to be done, God gave his molded children with their passions for that office. God needs a deliverer to save Israel from the hands of the Philistines. So there are many children. There are many people who can take that office. But God doesn't bother about them, because he has to mold somebody with the passion and the requirement for that office. So he begins to mold a spirit called Samson. Samson is a spirit. And then he molds him in strength and puts some passion in him and an anger in him. And then he looks onto the earth. And Matthew chapter 6, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So heaven has established that this divine vacancy, we need to put somebody in that office. And heaven has formed a certain spirit with that ability. And now he looks upon the earth and sees which couple, which womb, which woman on the earth will be able to take care of this assignment, of this package, because this package is not ordinary. It's not ordinary. So anytime God wanted to answer certain sensitive mandates. He gave those children, he formed them with those passions, he gave them to people who could never have children. God has an opening in the heavens. So God sent a man and appeared to Mrs. Manoah, Samson's mother, and said, "Thou art barren." "Yes, you are barren. You can't have children." "Okay. We know you can't have children. But don't worry, we also have a need. There is a divine alliance that is about to take place in our lives. We know you are struggling to have children. We understand that. But God in heaven also has a need. There is a vacancy. God needs a prophet, a deliverer. God needs somebody who will be able to keep his vows. God needs a boy, a son, and he needs a mother who will be able to guide that boy to be able to keep to the requirements of that office. God is in need. There is a vacancy. And God looks down upon the earth and looks at people who are also in need and crying. And God forms a holy alliance. God, heaven, comes upon the earth and embraces some people. And so the Lord said to Manoah's wife, "I know you cannot have children. I know you are struggling in this thing, but I have an answer for you, because there is a vacancy and we have formed a spirit being, but we need him to enter the earth, and so we will give you a child." Can I prophesy to somebody looking for a baby, to somebody who has lost a baby, to somebody who has been told that they can never have children, that there are many divine vacancies in the realms of the spirit, and God is looking for people. God wants to bring about people who will be able to answer that problem. And God is about to surprise you. I said God is about to surprise you. Look at Abraham and Sarah. There was a divine vacancy. It bothered about Jesus Christ. And so they dropped Isaac to them. Look at Isaac and Rebecca. There was a vacancy. Somebody had to continue. He dropped Jacob to them. Look at them, Jacob and Rachel. There was a vacancy. Joseph had to be born. Judah had to come. He brought them to them. Hallelujah. Look at Manoah and his wife. Samson had to come. Look at Ruth and Obed and Boaz. Obed and Jesse and David had to come. So the Bible said that even though Ruth had tried to conceive for 10 years, and she could never do it, when she entered her place, Ruth chapter 4 verse 13, the Bible says, the day she found Boaz, God moved. A man and a woman are sleeping. What is the business of heaven at the bedside of Boaz? Why are angels interested in a man and a woman having sex? Why? Because there's a vacancy in the heavens. Obed has to be born and Jesse has to be born so that David can be born and the Messiah can come through her. Because of that, heaven will move without you sowing a seed. God in need. Divine vacancies. So God looked at them and said, "I need to find somebody." God will not give something to any couple in Israel. Never. As a matter of fact, God is not going to give something to somebody who had 3 children already. Because they will not take care of that boy very well. Because I am normal. When you say that day who he ano, or she show beer, when Timmy would da, Nasa diano, a yadino, Wayaman, Entisa, Obano, any better man, woman to me who said, "The food way I have failed yet, a yammy, Entias Aqualano, Yashen ye." God wants the world to hear this, that he has given certain children with mandates to people, and they still did not know. Because if Samson was given to anybody, one day a mother that had about 5 children, they will cut his hair. In fact, the hair that God said they should cut, they themselves, it's not Delilah. They will cut it before Samson grows to meet Delilah. I want to prophesy to a couple believing God for the fruit of the womb. I want to prophesy to somebody waiting on God that you are not going to be wasted. There are too many vacancies that God is about to fill, and he's about to give you a world changer. A world changer. You are going to have a world changer. I say you will have a world changer. The very place where the weakness is, that is where God will touch. So maybe your barrenness is in the womb. Maybe your barrenness is in your pocket. Maybe your barrenness is in your career. Maybe your unfruitfulness is in your ministry. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, he said, and the hand of God was stretched forth and he touched my mouth. Because Jeremiah said he could not speak, God said, I have touched your mouth. That is why when Jeremiah said, I will not speak anymore, he could not, because God had put something there. When you trigger a certain code, that I'm going to show you now, God needs people. He doesn't understand the mandate on the hair. Because when people were taking their children to the barber shop and they were cutting them and giving them a boy, Samson's mother was still holding him with a bushy hair and said, I will not. And people said, as for this woman, don't mind her. She's too some way. But they did not know that that child was an answer to a divine vacancy. I prophesy to 1,000 people listening to me right now that may God give you children who are answers to divine vacancies. Shout, I hear you. This is it. You are about to be surprised. The thing I'm trying to talk about is that God needs you more than you need him. God needs you. That is why the prince of prophets, Isaiah, said in Isaiah chapter 54 verse number 1, he says, sing, O barren. Sing, O ye barren. Sing, all you who did not bear children. Why? Why? Because, he says, cry aloud, you who did not travail. For many are the children of the desolate than the married woman, saith the Lord. Everybody can come, sir. Was it, what baby be a power to me, Peno? Tonyum. Was it Tonyum? Was it, what will pay your funu? I am buying. What do you have, Tonyum? If we say, well, mother, do so. I say, nia wa wari au bebre. Oh. Sing. Enlarge the place of your dwelling. Do not spare. Strengthen thy cause. Lengthen thy cause. Why? Go to the next verse. For you are about to break forth to the left hand and to the right hand. This is the secret, is there. He says that your descendants, it is not that you have many children in number than the woman who has been having children. No. You are about to have some one child. That one child you are about to have. You are about to get some one husband that has delayed for a long time. You are about to have some one woman. He says that one child, that descendant, he is going to inherit nations. He is going to build waste places. God is giving you children who will repair nations. It's not everybody's child that will inherit nations. If, as a matter of fact, some people will not inherit even 1 acre of land till they die. But God said to the woman who has been oppressed, that sing. And today I want to tell you to sing. If you are believing God for the fruit of the womb, if you are believing God to be fruitful in any other area, sing. Why should you sing? Because the condition means you should be worried. But he's saying that go and get ready. Why? Because you are about to break forth to the right and you are about to break forth to the left. And why is that? Get ready. Make a passport. Why? Your children will possess nations. Why? The children will repair wasted cities. Sing. He says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither will you be disgraced. For you shall not be put to shame. You will forget the shame of your youth. The shame come through Obia. Abrabobun sem aman anime guase. Enim guase bia. Atiti bia. Or how bia. He said, for I have called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit. Yes. You will not see shame. A young woman was one of two wives to one man. The other wife for having children. Hey, she could have children anytime she's, even when the child was 1 year, she was still pregnant. That woman was as fruitful as a vine. Hey! You see, she defied lactation amenorrhea contraception. That even when she was breastfeeding, she could still get pregnant. There are women like that. They don't care about the laws of science. Science says that when you are breastfeeding, you cannot be pregnant. But there are some women, they are breastfeeding and they can still conceive twins. Hey, that was who Penina was. Penina could get pregnant at any time. And then Hannah was in the house. He said, hey, hey. But Hannah was the prayerful one. Penina was not. And she would just drop the children every year one. In fact, the age differences for Penina's children were 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And even when there was one, she was still pregnant. So one day, Hannah went into the house of God. And then she made the vow. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. She was in the bitterness of soul and made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look to my affliction and remember me and not forget me, and you will give me a male child, I will give him back to you all the days of your life. The moment she said that, an angel appeared. Shoom! Why? There was a divine vacancy. No, in the realm of the spirit, God had already had a meeting and knew that Eli, the high priest, was not finishing well. And he saw that Eli's children were not also going to sacrifice their ambitions. So God was in need. You see, God was in need. You are too needed. You cannot be wasted. God is in need. Hannah did not know that there was a divine vacancy coming up. Can I prophesy to a single lady, an unfruitful couple, that wait, there is a divine vacancy coming up. God is about to release a certain child who will build nations, who will build hospitals, who will build schools, who will pastor churches, who will set up companies. God is about to release children who will repair the desolate places, and he's bringing them to you, to you, to you, to you. There was a vacancy. Why didn't God take any of the children of Penina? No. Because they were not made for that vacancy. I want to encourage you, anywhere you are listening to me right now, that if you happen to fall, it is not only in the womb. Unfruitfulness in any area. God, if you will give me that company, I will make sure I give a half of our profits to the poor. Then already there is a vacancy, because God has seen that certain rich people he entrusted riches to have neglected the poor. So there is a vacancy for a heavily mandated millionaire. And because you vowed to God, he says, release a child who has a business acumen. Release that child to him. What do you have here? So the moment Hannah said, if you will give me a male child, I will give the child back to you. He said, Then heaven rejoiced. Heaven said, whatever the doctors have said about this woman, whatever the doctors have pronounced about this woman, it doesn't matter. We will override it. When God has an interest in something, you have no idea. Say, Urade, any will be bimua. Urade to me, pie in shiomu. That day he divided the Red Sea. I'm asking you, were there not fishes in the sea? Were there not fishes in the sea? But he did not care. He moved them aside because he had interest in these people. When God has interest in you, that marriage will still come to pass. That child will still be born. That church will be fruitful. That woman will still make it. Heaven said, thank you. Thank you. There's a vacancy coming up. We need a prophet to lead Israel. So immediately, the Bible says, that night, what the husband and the woman has done for 15 to 20 years, that night, heaven, mission come at the couple, be said, Eda ubetu anamono, osro ebetu ediweti. That night, heaven said, take. You take, because this child, you need a child. We also need somebody. We need to fill this vacancy. I prophesy to somebody believing God that God will bring to you a child. God will bring to you a certain man. God will bring to you a certain woman. You will be visited by grace. I say you'll be visited by grace. I say you'll be visited by grace. So Samuel was born. When Samuel was born, Samuel did not become a prophet, man of God. Samuel did not become a prophet because he went to serve early. There is room where sometimes when you serve and there's a certain man of God, the anointing will come upon you. The Bible says this is Elisha that poured water on the hands of Elijah. Okay. But then there are certain mandates. They were born like that. They were made like that. Samuel did not become a prophet because he went to the house of Eli. No. That place he entered was the strategic place of his divine mandate. Yeah. He had to be there for the grace to come. So watch this. The moment he entered the place, God, the moment you entered, the boy entered into the place where he had to be, grace followed him. When you find your place in your mandate, you will not struggle to hear from God. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, around verse number 10, the Bible says that God came to the bedroom, the chamber and hall. God bypassed the high priest. God bypassed the major prophet. God bypassed the bishop. And he went to the small boy's house. And then he said, Samuel. Then he got up and ran to Eli. But when he was going, because God had allowed him to hear, why didn't God just tell him that Samuel is me, it's not Eli? Three times. Samuel. Then he ran again. Then he came back. He said, ah. Then he was still standing there. When the boy was lying, I said, Samuel. Then he ran again. He allowed him to go three times so that he would know the difference between his voice and the voice of man. God could have just told the boy that because he heard him. So he could have just told him, don't go. It's not early. But he allowed him. God is allowing your weaknesses. God is allowing you to go through certain things because he wants you to know how men deal with certain situations and how he deals with certain situations so that when he's moving with you, you will now know. God allowed you to go through this. Why did God watch him? He ran. Eli, are you calling me? He said, I'm not calling you. Okay. Then he went. Then when he went to lie down again, he was sleeping. Then he said, Samuel. Then he got up again. Then he went. Then anytime he was going and coming, he was seeing the difference between that Samuel and then this, I didn't call you. The one that said Samuel. And then the one that woke up and said, ah, Samuel. So three times he will go. Then the voice will come again, Samuel. Then he will go. And he said, ah, Samuel, I haven't called you. Look, even if Eli did not tell him the third time, when he heard the voice again, he was not going to go. Because at that time, he knew the difference between God's voice and the voice of a pastor. I prophesy to you that may you know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of your pastor. May you know the difference between your voice of God and the voice of your prophet. So that when God is saying something, you will know. Now when God came to him, 1 Samuel 3:10, he said, and the Lord came again and said to him as at other times, verse number 11, when you find your place, you'll be surprised the way heavenly emails and heavenly gossips will come to you. This God, all he came to do, Samuel, he just said, hey, Samuel, do you know something? I want somebody to talk to you. You know, this vacancy you are filling for me. God, Mr. Elradi, God needs you more than you need him. God just opened his mouth and said, oh, Samuel, you know, I'm going to do something. It's like a boy trying to con a girl. I'm going to do something that everybody who hears it in Israel, their ears will tingle. And when it's in Israel, they will know. And Obama boy, he took Brika three times. Obedu has me baby bio. Baby bio no biatia. Oma sum beke kaw. And no one know. Michelle comes here, Radim Fawumbra, the place where his voice is. May you come to that place of your mandate. For when you find that place, the voice of God will follow you. Even when you are not getting it, he will wait for you to get it. Ah. Tell somebody, move to your place. Tell somebody, move to your place. In Joshua chapter 1, when Moses died, Joshua was tempted to remain at the place where Moses brought him to. If Samuel remained in Elkanah's house, he would never have heard that voice. You have to find the place. God said to Joshua, Joshua, your idol is dead. Now therefore, go cross this Jordan. You need to find a place. And then Joshua said, oh, no, no, no. God said, no. I need you to leave this place. This is Moses' territory. This is not your territory. God is going to give you a territory. It shall not be the same as your brother's territory. It will not be the same as your uncle's territory. God said to him that from this river, from this Lebanon, to this great river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, even unto this Red Sea, to the going down of the sun, this place shall be your territory. And when you find that territory, then verse number 3 said, everywhere in this territory that the sole of your feet shall tread, there I have given it to you. Verse number 5, he says, and no man shall be able to stand before you. When you find your mandate and the place of your mandate, you are removed from competition. You are removed. That if you, God has made you as an answer to a certain specific thing, you need to find it. When you find it, you'll be very relevant. You'll be very relevant. Genesis chapter 26. Isaac went to dig again the wells of his father. Don't dig anybody's well. Don't dig anybody's well. You see, Isaac went to Isaac. Are you listening to me? Isaac went to Isaac. He dug it. They took it from him. Sitna, he dug it. They took it from him. My problem is that when he was going through those troubles, God never spoke. You are not at the place where he wants you to be. This place is a spiritual place. But the Bible says, the moment he removed himself from there, and he dug again, that's Genesis 26, 22. The moment he removed himself, yeah, and he dig another well, then they did not strive with him anymore. Then Isaac called the name of the place Rehoboth and said, now the Lord has made room for us. Isaac is wrong. Can we correct Isaac? Isaac, God has not now made room for you. You have found the place that God had prepared for you. It's not that God wants you to, God doesn't want to see you fighting every day. As for you, you are striving in Isaac, you are fighting in Sitna, and he's looking at you. No. But God was waiting for him here. You have a Rehoboth, and I pray that you will find that place. You have a Rehoboth, and I pray that you will find that place. Look at verse number 24. Immediately he found the place. That night, the Lord, what happened? Let's all read it together. And the Lord appeared unto him that same night. See, when you find your place, the way God ran to Samuel, God ran to Isaac also. When Isaac found his place, tonight I pray, as you are repositioned into your spiritual Rehoboth, may God appear to you. May the mandate be even clearer to you. May the mission be clearer to you. In the name of Jesus, you are coming to your own place. I say you are coming to your own place. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 13 and 14, he says that, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And then I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Somebody say, my own land. God is bringing you into your own place. Amos chapter 9, verse number 11. He said, on that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. He says, I'll repair its damages. I will raise it up from the ruins. He said, I will build it as in the days of old. Then I will make him possess the remnant of Edom and the people of the Gentiles, says the Lord that doeth a thing. Praise the Lord. He said, in that day, then shall the plowman overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes overtake him that soweth. He said, then I shall plant them in their own land, and will not suffer any hand to remove them out of their land again. Any tabernacle of yours that is broken, that says the Lord, that I will repair the tabernacle that is broken, and as I build its ruins. God is putting you in your own land. And when you enter your own land, You will meet three groups of people. Say three. First Samuel chapter 10, verse number 1. When you enter your land, you meet three groups of people. Then Samuel took the oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, upon whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you? Is it not because the Lord has anointed you as commander of his inheritance? He says, when you go from here, you will find near Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin some men. And they will do what? And they will say to you, So the first group of people you meet after you possess your inheritance, there are people that talk. They are gossipers. Say gossipers. The first group of people that Saul met were people who were around tombs. People who gossip, they are like dead things. Nothing is productive in them. He met men around a cemetery, a tomb. I'm talking about gossipers. All they could do was just to talk. These two men, the prophet is saying, when they meet you, they will just say things and die. But they are not the only people you meet. When you meet them, ignore them. They are not fruitful. They don't have any part in your mandate. The second group of people you meet, read the next verse for me. He says, then you will go forward and then you meet three men. And those three men, you meet them by a tree in Tabor. And they will be carrying goats, bread, and wine. And when they meet you, they will not say anything to you. They will greet you and they will give you. These are the sustainers. Customized helpers. They don't say anything. They greet you and they give you. Can I prophesy to you? May God cause you to meet men and women who will greet you and give to you. Or you want to only meet the people who say things to you. They said, hey, you, your father has stopped looking for the donkey, so now he's looking for you. You don't need those people. They are like newscasters. But they are another group of people. You meet them around trees. You meet them around the sanctuary of God. They carry things in their hand. They are wealthy people. When they meet you, they honor you and they give to you. May God bring these helpers to you. May God bring these helpers to you. And then there's another. So they sustain you. God will sustain you. I say God will sustain you. Then the final group of people you meet, they are mandators. These people, they help your mandate. When they see you, they deposit grace upon you. The moment you come into contact with them, the moment you come into contact with them, heaven moves to help you. Read that next verse. It says, and then when you come, you shall meet a company of prophets. And they will be singing. And just because you get aligned, they are in the hail of God. May you come to the hail of God. Just because you get yourself aligned with these people, the Spirit of God that is upon them shall come upon you. And you shall become a new man. So my prayer is that we shall escape the people by Rachel's tomb. That God will bring us to the people that had things in their hand to give. And then to the people that the moment you meet them, you'll be able to fulfill your mandate. Because the moment Saul met these prophets, the Spirit on them came upon him. When you read verse 10 and 11 there about, then the first group of people, when Saul started prophesying, they said, hey, is Saul also among the prophets? They are the people that talk. Don't listen to them. I prophesy to you that you are entering your mandate. You are entering your mandate.